Pickaxe.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Triforce podcast.
Welcome back. The one and only place on the internet where everybody here loves chips no matter what. We'll eat them with anything.
You guys have no idea. I've had so many emails saying that I'm right and you guys are insane. Like,
Yeah,
90% saying that I'm
Flex
right.
Is living in his little echo chamber. It's probably all emails from like his friends and family supporting him.
Yeah, certainly none from McCain's, the chip manufacturer.
No, they're out to get, they got a hit on you.
Fuck you, buddy!
We got to take this guy down.
The anti-chip agenda.
Take the shot.
Jesus. You're gonna shoot potatoes at me. Get the potato gun.
It's a spud gun.
Get the potato gun ready.
Load the spud guns.
Let's get the potato launcher
Stick him in his exhaust pipe. His car's gonna blow up when he starts it.
That's the McCain way.
It'll be an accident.
We should call them. Excuse me, I believe I'm being targeted by assassins in your employ. Can you answer? No comment.
Body found stinking of chip fat. In the gutter.
They stuff mashed potato in your mouth as a warning.
Oh,
that's some prison shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of torture, I had a terrible hay fever at the weekend.
Right.
I went for a walk and my eye was like a little bit itchy, right? And I was like resisting the urge to like rub it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, I was like, oh, it's just too, it's like streaming, right? It's like streaming with tears. So I start rubbing it. And of course, that just makes it worse, way, way worse.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the walk, I was like, just in agony, right? Anyway, woke up the next morning, which was Monday morning, and my eye was like gooped shut, you know, with like that, like that yellowy, I sleep goo. It was so gross. I looked in the mirror. It was like looking at like some horrific monster.
Mm. Did you have trouble opening your eyelids? Like they were sealed
shut?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that. It was so super gross, man.
Yeah.
And I think it was just hay fever combined with like, maybe I got some sun cream in my eye or something, but like, man, it was so bad. I just felt like an absolute grandpa.
You know,
like
I went into Richmond at the weekend. This is crazy, actually. I have never suffered from hay fever in my life.
Right.
And we went out. It was a beautiful sunny day. We went to Richmond Green and it was like, obviously all the trees are out and they're doing their thing. There's little flowers everywhere. I was sneezing like crazy. My eyes were itching. I felt like I had something, a little cough in the back of my throat. I thought, oh, don't tell me I'm getting sick again. So I think I'm developing some kind of hay fever. It's something I've never, ever had.
Well,
is that normal?
I was told it was the opposite. I was told as you get older, your immune system gets less angry, right? And this, a doctor told me this, by the way. So it's not just I didn't read it on Reddit.
What doctor? You know, was it Dr. Dre or?
It was an allergy doctor. I went to an allergy doctor.
An actual allergy doctor.
Because I had to get new EpiPens for my nut allergy, right?
Right.
And,
you're allergic
and
to nothing.
And obviously, when I went there, the doctor was like, are you allergic to stuff? I was like, yeah. And he's like, how long has it been since you had any allergy test? And I was like, well, I had one when I was 8.
Right.
You know, which I mean, in 1991. And he was like, okay, so maybe you should go for an allergy appointment. And I forgot about it. And then 9 months later, it came around and they wanted me to go to the hospital. So I went to the hospital and saw a guy. But he told me that, you know, I'm maybe not as allergic anymore as I was. Because I obviously avoid these things. So I don't actually I haven't had like a severe anaphylactic reaction in a long time. Yeah. And also, I think some people just try and get EpiPens to like abuse them. I don't know who's like injecting themselves with an EpiPen for fun.
No, or
for drugs.
You know which one I've noticed recently. I get hay fever from time to time, but I haven't like really struggled with it overly. Like the rest of my family seem to struggle with it a lot more than me. But the one I've noticed recently, which is not something I just never paid attention to it in the past, but I feel like you hear a lot more about people getting sepsis nowadays for some reason, more so than ever. You know, like I don't ever remember hearing about, you know, overly about people getting it. And like,
so but sepsis as in an infection in your from a wound in your gut that causes
this is any
like
infection.
A blood infection.
Yeah, it's like it's basically any infection that your body decides to just go ham on, but also starts eating its own tissue and stuff. It can cause you to have limbs amputated and stuff. Like it just like all your skin goes black.
So it's,
in
it's
the
an
infected
infection
areas.
In your body.
Yeah,
and,
but it's your body just doesn't know how to deal with it and just goes into overdrive and basically tries to kill you in the process of.
So it's a life-threatening reaction to an infection. It happens when your immune system overreacts to an infection and starts to damage your body's own tissues and organs. You cannot catch sepsis from another person. Do you suppose they've been saying for years, like I'd say as long as I can remember reading about it, that the whole antibiotics thing, we've overused them because we use them in like, don't they use them in farming? They put them in cows or something?
I don't know.
Or any kind of cold, people were boshing out antibiotics.
Yeah.
But there is a hard limit on their effect.
I think there is definitely a hesitancy to use antibiotics. And I don't know whether that's causing more sepsis or whether it's just that thing where, because you've heard of it recently, so you see it everywhere.
Yeah, I think there's, like even more recently, there's been tons of like extra awareness around it, because I don't know if you guys saw, there's a conservative MP who's just come back to work after getting sepsis, but he's had both his feet and his hands amputated as a result of having it.
Holy
so he's calling himself the bionic MP now because he's had
How do you vote against that, lad? You
But it's crazy because the way it presented itself was...
He's
going to
clean up the streets with antibiotics.
He just felt really sick one night. Like, he felt, you know, just he just felt dreadful one night and said, well, right, I'm just going to go to bed. Like, yeah, I feel like shit. I'll get some sleep and I'll feel better in the morning. And when he woke up in the morning, he was just like, no better. He was worse. And he was in fucking tons and tons of pain. And he couldn't explain it. And his wife said... What the hell? Like, you're actually turning blue. Like, I've never seen anything like this before. And she thought he was, like, poisoned or something. So she phoned the hospital, and they got him in. And they had to put him in an induced coma for 16 days. And when he woke up, all, like, his arms and legs were, like, black. Like, they just died. And he said it was, like, if you could, like, knock on them like they were, like, the plastic of a mobile phone or something. He said it was, like, all hollowed out. It was, like,
this is gruesome, dude.
And they had to amputate his arms and his legs.
God. Still, it would need a trigger warning.
Yeah. But people have gone to hospital and died because of it. Because people, doctors sort of, they'll get you in and they'll say, no, it's this, it's not that, it's this or whatever. And they'll take you down a road that, you know, they're familiar with or whatever. But in some cases, they're actually missing signs of sepsis because it is quite hard to detect. Then as a result, people are dying of it. So there's like all this like extra awareness being raised around it and stuff. But it's so weird. It's like it feels like wow, God, everybody's getting sepsis. And like I'm 43 years old and I've never heard of this before until this year.
It's absolutely killed people for centuries.
Yeah, of course it has. Like, yeah, but it's like
every time anyone got like an injury, you know, the point is that if you get an injury and it gets infected, that's why you need to get that thing treated.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it can lead to septicemia, which is the classic.
Yeah,
sepsis,
that's the classic. You're on your way out.
And that's what killed everyone in the old medieval times. You know, it was always be happening. Someone would have a
no, you're thinking of witches.
Tiny skirts. I'm thinking of war.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of
everything.
Yeah, oh my God. Everything killed everyone in medieval times. Yeah. Like it was grim. But Yeah, I wonder if it is on the rise due to a hesitancy to give antibiotics.
Well, look, I know a decent number of medical professionals listen to this podcast. Email into the mailbag.
But I also reckon there's also a lot of people who don't want to take them because, you know, they're like, oh, God, I don't want to take these antibiotics.
I'm not poisoning my body with antibiotics. I just need crystals and a prayer.
No. Well, there was a news article about a young child in Ontario who died of measles, which doesn't happen that often nowadays, I don't think, because of immunizations and stuff. But
I think by nowadays, you mean until nowadays. Where people were dying of measles. Then we came up with a vaccine for measles, and now we're back on people saying vaccines are evil and they RNA in your body, even though that's in there.
Yeah,
anyway,
so he wasn't immunized against it. And I mean, it's speculation. They're not sure, but people are saying, well, they must have left the country. And it must have been contracted somewhere because it's probably unlikely that you'll pick it up, you know.
Well, obviously
in Ontario doing day to day stuff. But
there are people out there not getting this is a legitimate thing, is that measles is essentially still around.
Yeah,
because people are refusing to get vaccinated for it. It's incredible. You may as well say, I don't want to have smoke alarms in my house because they're evil. I mean, it's just like an advance that has definitively saved lives.
Yeah.
And they're just like, nah. But the problem is, like a smoke alarm, if you get measles because you're not vaccinated, you can affect other people. And just like if you don't have any smoke alarms and your house catches fire, maybe mine catches fire because of yours. It's the same deal. You do have some kind of social
fucking
responsibility.
It is literally the same deal. It's like, you know, your house, you can't have a smoke alarm due to reasons.
My reasons.
My reasons are sacred, even if they're stupid.
There are some people who genuinely can't have vaccinations.
Yes, of course.
Of course there is.
And it protects those people. It's mad that I think this is a symptom, though, of people desiring to be healthier, right? There is a push to eat healthy and be healthy. And like, I think there's this definite trend of middle-aged people, you know, trying to look after themselves.
Well,
I think that's tied in.
We've never wanted to be more healthy, but type 2 diabetes diagnosis are on the rise, 39% up in the past 2 years for type 2 diabetes, which is not the one that you're born with. That's the one that you give yourself from eating too much ice cream.
Wicked.
Yeah. By being sinful.
It's a punishment from God.
So I get it. There's a lot. Everybody's health conscious, but like at the same time, come on. I mean, you can't. This is the same society that's basically killing itself with sugar, you know, and wanting to be, you know, really, really health conscious and wearing like Fitbits and stuff. There's a joke in there. Well, there's probably a couple of jokes in there somewhere. It's fucking wild, isn't it?
Yeah, that's actually wild.
Hey, you know what I saw the other day? I want to ask you guys this. I was talking about this on stream the other night as well. You guys have seen the film The Goonies, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Long time ago, though, man. It's been a while since I've seen The Goonies.
Like an 80s classic. For anyone that hasn't seen it, it's a movie about some kids called The Goonies who basically, the gist of it is that some property developers are going to sell off their houses and shit, and they need money to stay. And the kids band together, go into a pirate cave and try and get the doubloons that One-Eyed Pete or whatever the pirate is
One-Eyed
called.
One-Eyed Willie,
which One-Eyed is even
Pete.
Worse.
One-Eyed Willie.
Get down there, and there's a gang of sort of, you know, mobsters or bank robbers or whatever that is also in the area trying to stop them. And they meet a guy down there called Sloth. And Sloth is, I think he was dropped on his head quite a bit as a baby, is the explanation they give for what happened to Sloth. But he's a very deformed fellow.
Is he the Hey You Guys guy?
Hey You Guys! That one with his ears sort of little flap gently.
Yeah.
At the end of the film, if you've forgotten, Chunk, who is the chubby kid who does the truffle shuffle, Chunk says to Sloth, you're going to come live with me now. We're going to take you home with us. You're going to live with us because I love you. Now, I don't know if he's discussed this with his parents, but I'm seriously concerned that Chunk's parents are like, what did you say? And suddenly they have a 6'4" mutant living with them.
Yeah.
What's the crack here? I mean, this guy's got serious PTSD. He was tied to a chair and tormented by his family for years, and now he's just going to live with a 12-year-old boy? What's happened? There's no fucking way I'm letting that that happened. No way. Where's the Goonies prequel
where we find out how Sloth became to be? You know,
he had really bad hay fever and his eye like swelled
yeah,
up.
Yeah, like... yeah. Do he developed a slight case of sepsis as well? And
yeah, and his parents didn't vaccinate him.
No,
it was such a weird
a catalog of
ending
errors
to the film.
Made. Yeah,
I don't think you'd get that ending nowadays. Especially in a post U-tree world, I would be very concerned about a grown man living with a young boy. I'm just putting that out there. In the 80s, it was no big deal. I would not let this grown man live with my child. No thanks. No thanks.
I don't know. It seemed like to be the done thing in the 80s to take in like waifs and strays, though, right?
Like, what were they like?
Well, E.T., for example, he was taken
you
in.
You let him meet kids? That's a grown alien.
Yeah. Harry the Sasquatch, the Hendersons
old.
Took him
Harry
in.
Harry the Henderson, yeah.
If you remember, they took him in as
grown,
well.
A grown Bigfoot. You letting him meet kids?
Alf?
Times have changed.
The family
Alf.
that harbored an intergalactic fugitive, Alf.
And I think Alf drank and smoked and made,
sure
made sexual comments,
he
didn't
was
he?
A huge...
Oh, my God.
He was very problematic.
Alf, can you babysit the kids for us? Yeah, sure thing
yeah,
I can.
God.
Fucking, I ain't trusting Alf. I ain't trusting any of these guys.
Yeah.
And these shows were made by the people who were in the thick of it back in the 70s and 80s. I'm just saying, folks.
Yeah.
Open
oh, my God.
Eyes.
Yeah, every time you load up one of these, it's like, you know, produced by Harvey Weinstein.
Right, exactly.
It's like a
special
like a little jump
advice
scare
from Jeffrey
at the
Epstein
start of the...
as executive producer. Prince Andrew, technical advisor.
Executive producer, Bill Cosby.
Fucking hell. Oh, my God.
This is our whole team.
With special
Music
thanks
by
to
Rolf
Jimmy
Harris.
Savile. To like a whole production. Get on IMDb
oh, wow.
And look them up.
God, that would be a fucking TV show, that would, if they were all the crew. It was like this sort of ragtag bunch of predators.
I don't think ragtag makes
a
them sound a little charming.
Ragtag bunch of rogues.
Yeah, no.
You know how people love these anti-heroes.
We're not talking
though
about Kelly's Heroes here or like the dudes from the actual the commandos from Predator.
Escape from an actual prison. These commando unit.
This ragtag band of ne'er-do-wells.
It's like Suicide Squad, but like...
but with nonsense. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh my goodness.
Oh God. Everyone loves a villain. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh God.
There's degrees of villainy though. Some
That's true.
There's some but villainy that crosses the line, you know?
Yeah.
We're
like,
not.
That Big wasn't time. A plot point for Darth Vader that he was also a pedo, is it?
No. Oh God. Just to show he's evil. I mean, there's limits, isn't there? You're allowed to kick a dog and, you know, maybe slap a woman.
I mean, you know what? I'm also wondering, Indiana Jones had Short Round following him around in Temple of Doom. Who's this little kid that just lives with Indy? What's up with
that? You talking about Kay Kwai Kwan or Kwan or whatever his name is. The guy who... Because he was in the Goonies.
Yeah.
He was in
Shorts.
Indiana Jones.
Was his short stick?
And also, Short Round. He came back. He did these two movies, right? And then disappeared from
exactly.
20 years and then came back with Everything Everywhere at Once, which was really, really good. And he won like awards.
Yeah, well, you know, he's in Goonies, he's in Temple of Doom, and then he goes...
That's the way to do it.
Oh, yeah,
wasn't he? Only in the most iconic movies.
I think the way to do it is to be in all those iconic movies and still be making movies.
Yeah.
That's
well,
the way
has,
to do it.
He has done. He took a bit of a break, but...
A bit of a break? I think it was like a 30-year break or something, wasn't
it? He still came back, though.
I think wasn't he doing stunt work or something like that? He was a brilliant actor. Yeah, yeah. He's a really good actor. Very, very likable. So let me have a look here.
What, in Indiana Jones?
No. In Everything Everywhere. So his career looks like this. He did Indy, he did The Goonies. He was in a film called Breathing Fire, which is a totally forgettable looking action movie. He was in Encino Man.
Oh, that was a classic, yeah.
Paulie Shore and Brendan Fraser.
That's right.
I think that's the beginning of the end right there. If you're in Encino Man.
Yeah, you
then
remember?
Red Pirate, which doesn't even have a Wikipedia entry. Second Time Around, which looks like it's a Hong Kong film around involving parallel universes. Interesting.
Very good.
Interesting, because that's kind of similar to Everything Everywhere. Finding Ohana, which is an American family adventure film, which I don't remember at all. And then Everything Everywhere.
I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for Rick Moranis to come back.
I don't think he will by choice. If I remember rightly, he's like done with it and he does music and stuff now.
No, he said he would do a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids sequel.
Oh, he needs money then. Fair enough.
Called Shrunk. No, well, I don't know. But I mean, yeah, he quit the movie industry to raise his family.
Yeah, and... which I totally respect.
Honey,
that.
I shrunk my bank account by not working for years. Now I need to get back into the game.
Oh my god, he hasn't made a film for nearly 20 years, and he did, it was direct to video and it was voice only, called Brother Bear.
He's good too. I like Rick Moranis.
Honey, and we
I
shrunk loved him ourselves
in Ghostbusters. Yeah. He was so
he
good.
Is 71 now actually. Oh.
So yeah, I mean, he was him and John Candy, I think. Was it John Candy?
Honey,
he
I shrunk my whole body through old age.
Honey, I shrunk my penis. I just decided to shrink my penis, honey. Thought it would be funny.
Oh my god. John Candy, I mean, he was one of these.
They were all
long line
Second
of...
City guys. Rick Moranis,
yeah,
was
Second City,
Martin Short, Steve Martin. What's
Second
that?
City Television.
Eugene Levy.
John
all
Candy,
those guys.
Rick Moranis, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara,
yeah, yeah.
Harold Ramis.
Man,
Martin
she's
Short.
So good, actually, Catherine. She's a great, yeah. great actress.
She
like,
is
really
great
good.
In. Is it
Schitt's Creek? She's amazing.
Well,
she's
man, she's fucking so good in Home Alone. Like the parts where she like screams Kevin and stuff. Like no, honestly,
no,
go
she's
back
really
and,
good. Yeah, yeah.
Go
no,
back
I
and watch
it. She's
them.
Really
she's
good.
She's fucking hilarious, man. She's so good.
She's one of those people who she was in tons of stuff and you didn't appreciate her.
She was
until
in Coneheads
you
with
saw
Dan
her in
Aykroyd
other stuff.
As well. She
well, now. The- That's not a good movie, though, is it?
Come on. You're going to sit here and say to me with a straight face that Coneheads is not a great movie.
Yeah, I am smiling, but come on. It's not a good movie.
No, you're right. It's not. It's pretty bad. But she was in that. She was. Yeah. I'm a big Conehead. You know, like,
was it Third Rock from the Sun? Do you remember that? I think one of the mother in that, wasn't she in Coneheads as well? I can't remember her name.
I can't remember the mother from Third Rock now. I only remember John Lithgow and that really odd guy with the darker hair.
French Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was weird. He had his eyes closed the whole time.
And, yeah, he was funny weird. Though. He was funny. He had that kind of like a southern twang of an accent too.
It was weird.
It was really weird.
But I mean, John Lithgow's fantastic. Kristen Johnston was in it. She was really tall. Oh. But Jane Curtin is her name. Jane Curtin. If you look up Jane Curtin, she was
Jane
in so
she's
many
been in something recently,
so
I
many
think.
Things. Yeah, yeah. You see her pop up and stuff. But I think she
Jane
was in.
Curtin.
She was in SNL.
Oh yeah, she was in so many things.
Yeah. So she was in Coneheads. Jane Curtin was in Coneheads. And,
yes.
Oh my god.
So it was like, her and Dan Aykroyd. She was the mother.
Oh, I thought it was. TV. I didn't realize it was her. I thought it was the other one. Sorry, I got it wrong. No. But I got it wrong. Big time wrong.
Yeah, because she was in SNL.
What else was Catherine O'Hara in?
She's
Canadian
in
tons
as well. Of things.
Home Alone, Beetlejuice. She's in
Beetlejuice. Right,
that's
she was the
I
she
think,
was the mother in that. She was fantastic.
She was really good in that.
They're making a sequel to Beetlejuice.
I saw that. Yeah, I don't know why they're doing this.
Me neither.
Like, just stop it. Stop
make something else.
Yeah, make something.
Make another thing.
Yeah,
make
just
another
do
thing.
A different thing.
There I is. Think a- they just need to latch on to something that has. Pre-existing, someone's heard of it. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what else I think?
People are so scared to make stuff.
Let's be less cynical for a moment, Lulu. Let's just think about this, okay? Imagine if we stopped making Triforce, all right? And 20 years from now, we decided to make another Triforce episode as a kind of nostalgia thing. And we'd be like, we got together, we were like, you know what I miss? I miss doing Triforce. We should do like a one-off 20-year later special or something like that.
Sure.
People would enjoy that. I'm sure that does enter into... Because these guys are all so rich. It's not like
see.
We've got to make another Beetlejuice.
And
I mean,
everyone they meet every day talks about it.
Yeah.
And that's what they're known for.
Right.
And everyone's like, anyone, all the time, their whole family are like, what do you do? And Simon's like, I'm the Diggy Hole Man.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like he's never going to not be the Diggy Hole Man.
Yeah, right. He's going to be the Diggy Hole Man till the day he dies.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so you can't help but think, oh, what shall we do with the Diggy Hole movie to Diggy Hole 2, Diggy Hole 3.
Diggy Hole, the prequel. The hole has not even been started yet.
Dig my hole, the porn parody. Dig my hole.
No.
Dig me out.
Are you digging my hole?
How has that not been done? Well, maybe it has.
It
like,
probably
so
has,
much out
yeah.
There.
There's like oh. There's tons of
I'm gonna chance
video game
here.
Culture
don't.
Porn out there.
Diggy
save
hole
yourself.
Porn. Diggy.
So
diggy
tell me about the
hole.
Beetlejuice. Has it got what's his face?
It's called
it?
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Michael Keaton is back. And
oh,
Catherine
really?
O'Hara
okay,
is going to be in it too, and that's all.
Okay.
First result: Diggy Diggy Hole, sexy dwarfs with big holes.
Nice.
Oh God!
I'm
oh, no, please.
It. I'm over.
He's
18.
Watching porn live on the Triforce.
Don't do that. Come now.
No, well, later. Save it for later.
Free Diggy Diggy Hole porn videos. No, it's oh. Just all a bunch of anal vids. That's all it is.
Fair well, enough. Fair
okay.
Enough. Good. I'm glad you found a new, fresh new
questions.
Stockpile of anal
yeah,
porn.
You can't bring that stuff up and then just not Google it. I mean,
true,
come on.
True, true.
Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
Tim Burton.
Oh, Tim
yeah,
Burton.
He was the director of the original.
Yeah, he did,
so.
Yeah. The original was wild.
Oh, it's such
I
a good movie.
I remember loving it when I was a kid, though. It was really...
My favorite part was when they were in the waiting room in hell and it was like the bureaucracy and the sort of... You saw behind the scenes of what it was like, you know, you had to wait for your number and everything. And you go to meet that woman who, when she smokes, the smoke comes out of a wound in her neck and stuff like that. Like little subtle things as a kid,
yeah.
I thought were amazing. And I wanted to know more about that sort of universe. Nowadays,
so
if Beetlejuice
weird.
Came out, that would be a TV series on Netflix in a heartbeat, like the Death's Waiting Room or whatever they'd come up with a name for it. And you'd just have office politics in hell. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
I took my kids to see that movie, If Imaginary Friends, the one with Ryan Reynolds and what's his face from The Office, Jim
Halpert. Oh, it's
Jim
got like
Halpert.
A big purple monster in it.
Yes, yeah, and it's voiced by Steve Carell.
Is it good?
It was all right, actually. Yeah, it was good. It was a nice family movie. Like, if you have young kids, it was pretty good. I went into it thinking I'm going to hate this and I'm going to fall asleep for 2 hours and whatever. But no, I was pleasantly surprised, actually.
Interesting.
It wasn't too bad at all.
You know,
it's
funny. My kids are just at that age now where I don't take them to see stuff like that in
yeah,
the cinema.
Yeah.
They're coming to see slightly different films.
Yeah,
in the cinema.
Sure.
They're just a little older.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the kind of thing that we might watch on when it comes through.
Yeah,
on
yeah. It's worth a watch. It's a nice, just nice little family one. You know, about it's yeah. a family movie about families and stuff, and it just you know. Just one of those ones where it's just like, yeah, it's pretty good. Reminds you.
Do you know?
You
know, Inside
you
Number Nine. And,
yeah.
You know the show Inside yeah, yeah. Number Nine. So the last season is on of that. My kids and I have been watching it.
Oh,
and
good.
It's funny because like I started
been
watching
for ages.
Yeah,
it
has.
Really is
yeah.
Like,
it's
yes. like 10 years. It's been
so
good.
I hit and
it
miss
has, yeah.
that show. Some
be,
are
sure.
better than others for
it
sure.
It has really kept Reese Shearsmith and Steve Pemberton like busy though.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what
oh,
I mean?
God,
like,
yeah.
It's kind of kept them away from doing anything else.
Man,
too
when
much.
It's when it's good though, it's exceptional. Like
oh, it's brilliant.
Fuck me,
yeah.
there's
it's
some
great.
Really good episodes for sure.
But,
for sure.
So watching it with them, like they've never seen a show like that before. Like it kind of reminds me. When I was younger, I'd watch like The Twilight Zone, Outer Limits, and then Tales of the Unexpected and stuff like that. These kind of anthology shows where it's a one-off episode, you don't know what's going to happen, and there's a twisty ending. So one of the episodes we were watching was called, I
yeah.
think it's called
so,
The
so,
Bill,
so
right?
Inside Number Nine, the idea is that it all takes place within a sort of one set.
Generally right? one yeah. location,
yeah.
Yeah,
one, like Number Nine of this apartment, or it's Number Nine and it's like a bus,
yeah.
do you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, yeah, it's like, it's cleverly done like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the gimmick, but it kind of keeps it self-contained
yeah,
in
yeah.
a very clever way. It feels almost like a little mini play.
Yeah.
Often, it is like that.
Because it's set in one room.
I love
yeah.
the
it's,
episode.
It's funny as well.
I love the episode of about the woman who... You find out. Well, actually, I don't want to spoil it. I think it's called like
is
Catherine
this a Christmas one?
Or something.
Where is it set?
Well, it follows this woman. This woman's like it starts off where this woman is like I guess she's like it kind of like follows her life. She's single and she gets back from like I think a Halloween party and there's a guy dressed up as a firefighter and she's dressed up as like a nurse or something. And they have it off. And then
they get together and they have a kid and then they break up.
You sort of flash forward and through
it,
time.
It
and
flash
stuff like,
forwards through. That's a good episode. Through her that's whole life. Yeah, it's really good though.
That's a really good episode.
Yeah, really good one.
I heard that there was another TV show like that.
Wasn't there one with Jonathan Frakes? People always make that meme where he's asking questions like, "How did that happen? How did the doctor know?" Blah blah blah. I can't remember what it was called because I don't think it was really on over here. Jonathan Frakes. Let's look it up. It was a sort of mystery thing. After Star Trek, he did a TV show called Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction, which is a very long title, but it's it ran for five seasons, I think. Sorry, six seasons. And it was generally, it was episodes so here's season one, The Apparition, The Electric Chair, On the Road, Number One with a Bullet, and Dream House. So there's five stories in there. Needlepoint, Toy to the Rescue, Mystery Lock, The House on Baker Street, and The Train. So I guess he was the guy, the first series was James Brolin was introducing it, and then the subsequent seasons were Jonathan Frakes introducing it. And I think it was four or five stories in a row, I guess, rather than just Inside Number Nine, which is one story
for half
an hour.
See, this would now be a YouTuber, right?
Yeah.
They would be doing like 5-10 minute little videos, about weird, creepy, supernaturally type vibes, It was what is this? This is what happened. Was it a crocodile? Did he rip his own dick off? It's which one, you have to try and defy the logic, right? Yes, that's what it is. It's sort of this sort of supernatural vibe, but with a actual explanation, possibly. It's he could have just fallen in the hole, but everyone says it was the ghost.
Those ghost shows, I think they still rerun them. The ones with Derek Acora and guys like that.
Was it Most Haunted? Was
that what it was called?
There's one called Most. Was it Most Haunted?
I don't know.
Where people would go and stay at ghost hunters. People would go stay at supposedly haunted houses.
Well, this is it's such cheap reality TV.
You don't even need any special effects.
I watch a lot of crappy reality TV, but I would draw the line at that. I couldn't really sit through that.
You've got to understand that, all you need is a film crew and a camera, and one or two, a presenter, and one or two people who are going to scream.
The Apprentice is... Every year, The Apprentice is scary enough for me. I don't need to watch.
Have you not watched that one set in a hotel where they have a suitcase of money? It's
that the one where they all stay in separate rooms and they can't
What's
talk?
What's that show with the suitcase of money called?
Oh, it's called Suitcase of Money?
Fortune's Hotel, yeah. Thank you. Fortune Hotel.
Yeah. Did you just yell at your...
I didn't yell. I asked her. She's in the next room.
Fortune Hotel. Is the one where they're in rooms so they're not allowed to see each other?
They have a suitcase and there's everyone has a suitcase. And in one suitcase, there's a ticket that means you got to go home that night.
Right.
And in another suitcase, there's £250,000. And... You could the whole game involves swapping suitcases, okay?
Right,
and
I see.
You kind of don't want to give away that you've got the suitcase with all the money.
It's hosted by Stephen Mangan.
Yeah, Steve Mangan. He's brilliant. He's a really, really good comic actor. Very funny guy.
10 pairs of contestants have the chance to win the ultimate jackpot of $250,000.
That's not the ultimate jackpot, though, is it? Who wants to be a millionaire is the ultimate jackpot, surely. That's literally $1 million.
Right.
I don't know why they have to call it the ultimate
jackpot. Yeah, one day ago, it had its biggest audience yet at 2.5 million viewers.
Yeah. So Mrs. F watches it. I've watched an episode. The idea is the way they always have these sort of, it's like an hour long fucking show for some reason, because they fluff it out so much. But they have these trials that they have to do, these games or whatever.
Yeah.
If you win the games, you get to swap last.
Right.
So if you win a game, you are the last person to swap at the end of the day. So everyone's sitting there and they're all being very cagey. And the thing is, they're all talking about alliances and who they can trust. And we're teaming up with these guys. I said, what do you mean trust? You can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
The whole point of the game is to take this money. If you finish the day with the suitcase, you get to take 10 grand out of it.
That's the case in The Traitors, but people always just blindly trust each other in that.
I just don't get it. There's no way to say.
And another thing that people do on reality TV, and I always think am I missing, are they just not showing a lot of footage or something? But How do people decide that these people that they've just met are their best friends? Like, they just don't have friends?
Yeah, it's bizarre.
They're forced into a situation, and now is their chance to finally make some friends? Or, like the loyalty is sometimes, like, in some of this stuff, staggering. For somebody you've just met.
Seriously.
It's like, I can't let my friend down. That's not your fucking friend. Yeah, you've known him for 5 seconds. Like,
and they're trying to screw you over for money. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, the most recent series of Traitors is exactly that. At the end, the ending is she's like, oh, just believe him because he's so lovely and he's been my friend. And he's just like, wins the whole thing as a traitor.
Yeah.
Because he, and she was like, I can't believe it. I was like, everyone else can believe it.
I love the voice. It's so accurate as well, because it was like, oh, I can't believe this has happened to me.
Like, it's like, oh, if he's lying, I don't know what to think anymore. Well, how about that you're on a fucking game show?
Yeah.
And that everybody's lying to everybody. Yeah, there's like, more of a
chance that he's lying to you than anything else.
Exactly. it was just so funny.
Oh,
but,
fuck.
So it's another one of those kind of things.
How do you guys feel about parlor games?
Define.
So obviously, like, back in the Victorian era, but also
so I am not that old, Lewis.
No, me neither.
A classic parlor game would be like hide and seek or like sardines, right? Or
something. I see.
Oh man, I used to love playing hide and seek in the dark. Like in when we were kids, we would if we'd go to like somebody's house, you know, to hang out or whatever, we'd put like cushions in all the basement windows and make it really, really dark in the basement and then play hide and seek in the dark. But man, it's terrifying because you're just like, you don't even need a great space to hide because it's so dark. So you could just kind of like stand there, but you have to like hold your breath and stuff because it's like, you know, it's quiet. And like, if they hear you, they'll find you sort of thing. Fuck,
they made
it was
that
so
horror
much
movie
fun.
Like that. Didn't they? Where they broke into a blind guy's house and his house was like set up to, I think it's called Don't Breathe.
Oh. What? He was just waiting for intruders and then they...
Yeah, it's sort of like a trap house.
Sure enough, they came in and Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'd be really good at that, by the way, because I was fucking really good at hide and seek in the dark.
Well, you can still do it. So there's a Mafia variant now. I can't remember what it's called. God, I'm sorry about this, but I was looking at it yesterday. And the idea is that it's like Werewolf or Mafia, except during the night phase, everyone has to hide.
Right.
Right? In the dark. Okay. And if someone, you know, finds you, the killer, they have a special thing where they, like, you know, tap you twice on the shoulder and that means you're dead. And then you have to lie there as a corpse, right?
Okay.
Now, if someone finds you during that hide-and-seek dark night phase who's an innocent person, they can shout, oh, I found a body, you know. But otherwise, you just don't turn up to the table the next morning and you're dead, right?
Yeah.
But the idea is that if you die... you then come back as a ghost and you're allowed to, what you do is so you have to give everyone, you know, 10 seconds until they hide, and then you turn your phone on with the screen on and you have to shuffle, so you have to keep your feet together.
What?
Okay, like shuffle like a ghost. You could only like moan. The different ghosts do different things, and so one of them shuffles and moans and waves their phone around, and it's super freaky. And then to what end? Just to kind of freak everyone out.
Oh, I see.
And,
so there's not like, part of the game. They don't have an ability. They just
creep around.
So
you're hiding, and you're worried that someone's going to kill you, and there's like ghosts shambling around with their lights and stuff, like lighting up the area, and you don't want a ghost to come near you to like reveal you to the killer. I don't know if I want to do any of this stuff as an adult, though.
Like,
I
still have an imagination, obviously, but it's not a kid's imagination where that would be a fantastical experience for me. I feel like the whole time I'd be like, this sucks. This person isn't making the right noises. This fucking idiot isn't playing correctly. Oh. You know what I mean? Like, then also, I don't think adults can be trusted in that situation because you probably have one game and it'd be like, oh, this is great or whatever. Next game, somebody's getting groped for sure. Like,
my first thought was, if I'm a woman,
countdown to somebody getting groped in the dark.
He grabbed my boob in the dark. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were a dead body. So, you know,
she grabbed my honker again in the dark. It keeps happening.
Yeah.
These ghosts are gropers. What's happening? It's a special role. Yeah. The ghost is a groper.
I think the idea is fine. I think if you're into that or whatever, but I'm just like, maybe I'm cynical or whatever, but like, I would have loved to play something like that when I was like a kid.
I think you have to have the right group who wants to do this. But sometimes you get sort of forced into it at someone's house by like some, you know, busybody mum or whatever, you know. It's like, come on everyone, we're gonna play this thing now. It's like, come on, we're all gonna play this game. And it's like, oh God, you know.
I feel like if you have to get people together in that way, where you're like talking them into it,
yeah.
How much fun are we really?
I've never known anybody be like that, you know. Like, even like my mother-in-law is pretty chill, you know. Like, you go over and she's like, "You want tea? Yep. Just watch TV, you know." Like, there's no like,
watch other people.
There's
do
no
these games.
Like game arranging or anything, you know.
I mean, you're
it's
not,
like a bit of...
you're not wrong. It doesn't happen to me. I kind of semi wish it did. You know, like it, like I actually played these interesting physical parlor games. You know, like some of them are one of them is classic, like Are You There, Moriarty?
Right? Yeah, is it like one? Marco no. Polo, but like it takes place like in the
on a
in the drawing room or whatever. This is all rich people stuff, by the way. Rich people
do
all
this
shit.
Parlor games, for fuck's sake. It's like they
host dinner parties and they do their parlor games. It's everybody's drunk by the time these things happen, mostly, I'd say. And
they fall into the same category to me as drinking games, which is I don't need to have a game to encourage me to drink with my friends and have a laugh. I think it's just people that don't really have anything to say.
By the time I'm loosened up and ready to play the games, I'm falling asleep anyway. So
drinking games don't involve blindfolds and hitting people with newspapers or hunting for a thimble under a handkerchief or something. Do you know what I mean? Drinking games are very much like often word games or memory games, which are again like different. They're to do with
they're simplistic.
I'm putting them in the tribal. In the same Venn diagram.
The best,
I'm not
the best
that
drinking
the same.
Game, Chug-a-Lug. Where all you do is just drink fast. Yeah, that's it. It's so simple but so effective. And then people chant Chug-a-Lug while you're drinking, while you're just chugging one down really fast. That's
don't
the game.
Need it. Don't need it. Just have a laugh. You want to slam that beer? Go for it, bud.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't need a game.
Parlor games?
Yeah.
I'd say no big ups to parlor games this week for me.
No, I'm refusing to big up them.
No.
Well, what even like so no. So nothing
never.
You're happy to sit around though. Just,
yeah,
I just,
rather
like,
just
when,
sit
when
around,
I go
honestly.
Out go out with people I know, I find that the conversation and everyone just having a laugh is more than enough.
Yeah.
Although last time I was down in Bristol, we did end up getting really drunk and playing a game, which was, I guess you could call it a parlor game. It was just wrestling.
Oh.
We got drunk and everyone was wrestling on the floor. Yeah, it was.
What the fuck?
We're just drunk. It was just. We
Who
didn't
was
know
doing wrestling?
Everyone.
What do you mean everyone?
I mean
Who
everyone.
Who do wrestle?
Lydia, Tom, Duncan, I think. I can't remember.
Not the first name I was expecting.
Well, were you doing like full headlocks? Do you give anyone a Boston crab?
No, I don't even know what that
give
is.
Give anybody
so no.
a gas pedal?
I don't know what that is either.
What is that?
Well, it's when you hold...
Everyone was just wrestling. We were all drunk.
You basically, you grab somebody by both ankles and you insert your foot into their groin and then you pull their ankles. That's a gas pedal.
Oh God. No, we weren't trying to kill each other.
Right.
But I definitely remember, I think Ravs and Tom wrestled at some point. There was a lot of mucking about. We're just all very drunk. I mean, that to me is just, that's not a parlor game. That's
not a parlor. What were you doing?
That's like an episode of Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah, it was funny.
Lydia's like a giraffe with an injured leg. You know,
I know.
She's very fragile.
I know. I was concerned. But, you know, the wrestling must happen.
One fall from that height and God, she's going to shatter like a statue.
Be so
careful.
Funny.
Man, oh man.
Well, when you're drunk, you know, whatever.
Anything
also,
goes. Yeah.
Wake
so
up
that doesn't
day.
Hold up in court, though, Flex. It's not a.
Well,
it's not
wake
a good,
up the next day, we're all covered
defense.
In bruises. Yeah.
I wouldn't mess with Duncan either or Ravs. Like, those guys are like bears. They'll savage you.
Big lads.
Yeah, they're the ones I want on my team, not trying to. I mean, I'm just trying to think who actually I might be able to, like, Boof, maybe, I guess.
Yeah. I would say don't try and wrestle O's. She can limbo like no one I've ever seen.
Well, I think O's has just got hidden blades
she
on
was
her. You
unbelievable.
Know, you wouldn't even know.
Yeah, she did. She did. There was some limbo at one point as well. And I remember
trying to think of who I'd
was, like,
be
on the ground.
Effectively be able to win against in a wrestling match. And so far, the only people I can think of are small children.
Limbo, that is not a part of
I don't
of
think
game.
I've beaten well, any adult in a wrestling match.
Well,
any.
Yeah.
Even if they're way shorter than me or anything. Like, I just don't think I'm very good at wrestling.
They do this with YouTuber boxing matches, they pick like a really scrawny puny guy and put another scrawny puny guy against
honestly,
him.
Honestly, talking of boxing, first of all, for any boxing fans out there, the Usyk Fury fight was a really good fight. It was a really, really good fight to watch.
I heard he is the undisputed champion of the world.
Yeah, Usyk is now the
undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
Usyk! Everybody goes mad. So yeah, it was a really good fight. Tyson Fury had some weird things to say afterwards, and I think he wished people Happy New Year or something.
Oh, right.
At the end.
It was
really
like a bit
weird.
Of like a coked out Ultimate Warrior trash talk segment.
I don't know. It was very, very odd.
Yeah. Those are odd, but I think it's normally owing to like concussions and stuff, you know?
Yeah,
think,
no, he got clobbered. He really did get clobbered. Yeah,
I think you can get into a pretty fucked up mind space after you've been.
For sure.
Concussed.
But it was a good fight.
Are you looking forward to the Tyson Jake or Logan Paul one?
Really looking forward
to. Which Paul is it? Jake or
Logan?
I don't know.
Well, I think it's Jake Paul,
right.
I think.
I was watching Tyson's training videos and I was reading some comments from people relating to these videos and there's some really good ones in there. My favorite one was, I wouldn't even fight Mike Tyson with a gun.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's true. He is a terrifying individual.
Yeah. He's old. He's like, 58 now or something, Mike Tyson? Let's have a look. Mike Tyson is 57.
Yeah. He still moves really fast.
So the thing is, if you've been a boxer most of your life, which he has been, he's clearly not in the shape he was in his prime, obviously.
No.
He's 57. Jake Paul's a younger man. The point is, Mike Tyson was the greatest boxer of his era.
Yes.
Like, insanely good. Knocked people out for fun. Unbelievable punch strength and speed. There is, honestly, he must have been told, please don't kill him. Because there are people saying, he's old, he'll lose. I don't know, man. You can find a lot of videos of older guys who can really box, not putting younger guys on their ass. Because it's not just about, if boxing was purely about who is the strongest, Tyson Fury would have won. Because he's fucking huge. He's 6'9", right? And when he hits people, they stay hit. There is a lot more to boxing than that. It is not just big man hit big man. There is real skill to it. There's strategy to it. You've got the reactions, you've got that literally knowing when to target your punches and how to take soak up damages. There's a lot to it. It's a proper fucking sport. That's why it's hard to be really good at boxing. Mike Tyson, yes, he's older. There is no fucking way he loses that fight if it's an honest fight. This guy, if he hits him properly once, it is lights out. There is no way. There is no way. Because he's knocked out people much bigger and better than whichever Paul this is. I'd be astonished if Jake Paul wins a genuine fight.
There's two people in this life that I'm afraid of. My wife and Mike Tyson.
That's it. Those are the only two. Only two things fear me. The wrath of my wife and Tyson.
Fuck. I would not want to fight Mike Tyson. I mean, I don't want to fight any boxer, but Mike Tyson, to me, Mike Tyson is, like you said, you know, he was the undisputed champion of his era, but I think he could kill a man with his bare fists quite easily.
Yeah, no, I genuinely think he could, even at 57.
More so than most.
Do you know who I really wouldn't want to fight? I really wouldn't want to fight Mark Zuckerberg, right? Because he does UFC stuff, apparently. He does, this is when him and Elon Musk were rubbing cocks against each other and threatening to fight.
We've all seen Star Trek. You know, Data is a fucking badass, right? He just lifts people up by their neck.
He does those karate chops too.
Right, but that's not why. I'm the physical side of it and losing because he's technically good, that isn't what would worry me. That could be pretty much any trained fighter. I just get this impression that he would do a funny breathing thing while he's got you in a hold. Like, he'd be, like, doing little nerd grunts or something. Like, he'd have you in a grunt. He's like, submit! Submit before me! Like, that would be awful. Like, you're losing to Mark Zuckerberg.
He's probably...
That would be the ultimate humiliation.
I don't
like,
ever
oh my
want
God,
to...
I'm
I don't
to
want to fight
out.
Him. And I don't want... You know, if this ever gets back to him... I don't want this grounds for like, you know.
No, fighting. I don't want to fight anyone.
I think
he
seems to me like a biter. Like he'll be biting. He's in there. He'll be biting for sure.
I reckon he'd have a boner while he had you in some kind of a lock.
Oh my God.
He'd be rubbing it against you. Can you feel my power?
God. Oh, man. I don't know, though. Like, all the adrenaline and the testosterone and everything, like, I don't know. Maybe I would welcome his boner, is what I'm saying, you know, in the confusion.
Right.
Yes, I can feel it pressing into the small of my back.
Ooh, Captain, this is a very weird sensation. Oh, fuck.
You're calling him Captain now.
Yeah, he's calling him, just kidding. My wires are crossed, Captain. I think I'm Data. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wouldn't want to fight. I don't want to fight anyone.
No, I just want to chill.
You know, I don't mind if other people want to fight each other.
Yeah, I like watching fighting.
Just
but,
don't fight me.
I'm a big fan of boxing. Yeah. I know with the UFC, it feels so, I don't know, there's something horrible about it. When they're punching them on the ground and stuff, I really I can't get into
it. It's not like an atmosphere that I would enjoy much, a fight atmosphere. I think people are too, like, you know, like, you know that Eddie Murphy bit from Raw or Delirious where the Italian goes to watch Rocky?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I feel like
Rocco.
It's like, yeah. Hey, Rocco! I feel like it's like that, you know? It's just a lot of people getting all like really fucking supercharged and amped up, and I don't.
Do you know what it? I think especially now that I've had kids, and you see what kids are like when they see something like that.
Yeah,
I feel like some people never grow out of that phase.
Yeah,
they're the kids who they watch wrestling and they're like, "Let's do this in the backyard." Yeah, braining each other,
jumping off their roof onto a mattress and stuff.
It's like, calm down, kids. It's just you can watch the thing and be excited by it, but you don't then have to go out and do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh my God!
All right, chaps, I gotta go. I'm sorry, I have to go to an appointment.
He has to go.
He's got good. Thank you, Sips.
Well, look, 53 minutes, pretty good.
Yeah, we got 53.
Yeah, we got 53.
Covered a lot of ground.
We got
a lot
53
of
and no big ups. We almost gave a big up to Parlor Games and then decided no.
Well, you stepped in real quick to make sure that didn't happen. And
yeah.
I'm glad of it. Well done.
Shut that shit down.
I shut that shit right down. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to shut shit down. We're going to stop this podcast. We're going to stop.
All right.
We will see
you
guys next time.
Thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye.